all know, because it's so so sort of prevalent in our culture these days, the way that Big Brother runs things is through constant surveillance of everything. So I think that this should be our next question. Does surveillance really affect our behaviour?
Yes, it does. There's lots of experiments that show that it does.
We actually managed to get hold of someone who knows all of this stuff amazingly, more than you,
that
Michael.
That is amazing.
Assistant Professor of Social Psychology at Cambridge, Dr. Sander van der Linden.
Well, psychologically speaking, there's actually a huge dimension to the illusion of being watched. And so humans have a dedicated neural architecture for the detection of facial features, including the presence of eyes. And so what I mean by that is that we're sort of programmed to pay attention when other people are looking at us, and specifically something we call gaze detection. And so detecting when somebody else is looking at you is a really important cue for people in navigating our day-to-day lives. And so what's interesting is essentially that the same neural mechanisms, the same parts of the brain, can be activated when you just give people the illusion of being observed. And so in our evolutionary past, you know, when we evolved, there were of course actual human eyes staring at us in public domains. But what research has found is that you can actually activate the same sort of brain patterns without the presence of actual eyes.
Remember, even in your sleep, Big Brother is watching you. Big Brother is watching you.
So one of the first studies that was done on this was actually on the computer. And so they were playing what's called a public good game, where basically you're asked to distribute a sum of money. And of course, there's an interest to keeping some of it, a self-serving motive, but you can also donate it to the collective. And then in one condition, they had a computer character called Kismet, who was basically in the corner of the screen blinking. It was basically a pair of eyes blinking at you at every round. And in the other condition, the Kismet wasn't present. And so what they found was that, well, when the eyes were present, people were donating a lot more, contributing a lot more to the collective cause than when the eyes weren't present. And some other researchers then thought, that's interesting, but it's a computer game. Can we actually take this out into the field and the real world and see if this works too? And so they started hanging up posters of human eyes, and including some of our own experiments. And they found all sorts of things, that when you have simple posters of human eyes, people, this was done in a student cafeteria, students were more likely to return their trays after they used them, and so litter less. In a university setting where there was an honesty box and people were asked to contribute to the coffee fund, if the eyes were present, a poster of eyes versus, say, a poster of flowers or something else neutral, people contributed three times more than when the eyes weren't present. And there's lots of examples like that. And in one of our experiments, we thought, well, what about more complicated behaviors like voting? Particularly now, when we look at democracy and how important it is for people to come out to vote and to have all segments of society represented in the democratic process, can we get more people out to vote by, for example, sending them a picture with human eyes on them versus a traditional informational nudge, if you will? And although the effects are somewhat small in the sense that, you know, we found that maybe 1 or 2% increase in voter turnout, it's quite astonishing that just by giving people the illusion of being observed, that actually can have an impact on behavior like going out and casting a vote.
Make no move until you are ordered. Now we can see you.
These are sort of the nice example, but surely the same idea can be used for more sinister purposes. And I think the book, you know, exploits this idea in a quite dark context where we have, you know, intense state surveillance. And in fact, you know, it's an interesting question. I was quoted in a public hearing, in the judicial hearing report on the future of drones. And one of the things that came up was like, well, we could use drones to, you know, trick people into thinking that they're being observed and, you know, elicit cooperation from people in that way. And that's, you know, sort of a chilling effect that occurs there. And so people are very worried about what the implications of this sort of research could be if it were used for something else than getting people to cooperate with each other.